Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 12. Let's look at verse 7. Let's start there today. There was war in heaven. Can you think of, can you imagine that? There was a war in heaven. Unheard of. Why would you, in the place of peace and tranquility and harmony and everybody singing Kumbaya, why would there be a war in heaven? We'll find out. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels. Michael would be an archangel. He would be, and you can clearly see this in the Bible. You can see tiers or levels of angels. You can see those who are of sort of, it's an army is what it is. And Michael is the captain of the host in this situation. He is, and I think the Bible teaches that at one point, Lucifer was as well. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. And so Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And so we have a war, and we have two sides. We have Michael and all of the good angels. That would be two thirds of the angelic realm or the angelic host, and then the dragon, who is the captain or the prince, the chief prince of these evil angels. The Bible calls them that. That's the Bible uses the term gods, little g, evil angels, unclean spirits, familiar spirits, devils. All of those terms apply. Let me throw this in here, and I know I've spoken on this before. There's a theory going around on the internet, and I know where it comes from, that devils, or, you know, demons, as some people call them, that these devils or demons are the disembodied souls of the giants who dwelt on the earth before and after the flood. You may have heard that. I went, oh, really? Wow, okay. You know where that comes from? Book of Enoch. Enoch did not write a book. That is not his words. It is not the words of God. That thought and that idea comes from somewhere, but it doesn't come from the Bible. Devils are not the disembodied souls of giants. Devils are gods. They are evil angels. They are evil spirits or unclean spirits, but they're not that. And so here we have the dragon, who is the prince, the chief prince over all of these principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. They're going to be cast out. They didn't win the war. Why does this war start? Let's go back to, I don't even have this in my notes, but it answers the question, why did this war start? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? He is fallen from heaven. He is cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. How did he weaken the nations? We go back to Genesis chapter 3. He enticed Eve with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And all of the nations are birthed from her. Therefore, the devil weakened the nations. We are weak, and we have no control over the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. So he weakened all the nations. And then it says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above what? The stars of God. These stars are angels. So the devil, his ultimate goal is, I will be like the Most High. And then we see in Ezekiel that he says, I am a God, capital G, I sit in the seat of God. He wants to sit where God sits, on his throne of mercy. He wants that. He wants that position. He wants that power. He wants to rule over everything that is. And he doesn't want God telling him what to do anymore. I know people like that. But in order to do that, he knows that he must ascend into heaven. He must conquer the stars of God. So that's what he's trying to do back here in Revelation 12. He started the war, and he's trying to conquer the stars of God so his throne can be over them. Then he said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, that is Mount Zion. The book of Psalms says that. Beautiful is Mount Zion in the sides of the north. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That, I believe, is the body of believers who have believed the word of God. He must conquer the congregation. Why? Because God has given us power to tread upon him, to conquer him, to resist him, and he don't like that. So he's got to conquer the angels. He's got to conquer the congregation. And I will tell you, all of this stuff here, all that stuff that I keep on the other desk, the watchman desk, that's him trying to conquer the congregation. He is using the words of his mouth to weaken the churches, weaken the people, weaken the believers. He's using those things against people so that he can conquer and sit on the mount of the congregation. A mountain in the Bible, the symbol of the mountain is always like a kingdom. In Daniel chapter 2, the stone cut without hands, which is Christ, comes down and falls upon the toes of the fourth kingdom, and it destroys it. And the Bible says that stone became a great mountain. Mountains are kingdoms. The mountain of the Lord's house. Christ is going to reign from the mountain of the Lord's house. And so mountains are kingdoms. And so he wants to sit on the mount. He wants to rule. Oh, I got something. This is so neat. Look at the language of your King James Bible. This is just a thought I had. In Matthew chapter 5, this is the chapter of the Beatitudes. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, I like it, his disciples came unto him. Isn't that beautiful? Do you get that? This is Christ now going up to a mountain, setting himself, and his disciples come up to him. That is so beautiful. I love it. So this is what he's trying to do. He's trying to get Christ out of the way. So he tried to have him killed. Well, that only worked for a few days, didn't it? And so he starts a war here thinking that, and the Bible says that the devil is wiser than Daniel. Very wise. His problem is God has given him an animal nature, a beast nature. He is only doing what he was created to do. He can't do anything else than that. And so his goal, his driving instinct, it's in his DNA to conquer the kingdom of God, to try to conquer God, conquer his angels, conquer his church. He's very wise, but he has the beast instincts. And he can't change his mind about that. He won't get saved. He will not get saved. So, and then he says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Is that going to happen? Absolutely. Because after the wrath is poured out, a strong angel comes down, wraps him up in chains, tightens it up real good, says, here you go, Houdini, try this one. And he throws him into the pit for 1,000 years. All right? So you kind of get the idea of what this is all about. This is basically the devil. That's his stand here he's going to make. He's going to try to take over the throne of God. But Michael and his angels, God empowers them to prevail against the dragon. And the dragon was the great dragon. Wow, that's an interesting phrase. He's the great dragon. That means he is very strong and very powerful. But he was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And so we get the idea here that for right now, the devil has access to the throne of God. Where do we see that from? Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro. Remember that? Be sober, which that means don't be drunk in the spirit. Okay? From going and be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. So he says that from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. I was just looking for something to eat. God, what you got in mind? Okay? But right now, he has access to the throne. Let me give you another verse. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Boy, hey, think about that. Everything the devil, I can just tell you, like today, I woke up this morning, and I woke up very early this morning. We've got weather moving in, and so that just wreaks havoc on my bones, and just a lot of pain today. I've got heating pads and everything else, just trying to get through the day. And the devil is trying to resist me. He's trying to withhold me. You see that in the book of Daniel, where the great dragon had, I believe he was the prince of Persia. The great dragon, or the prince of Persia, had so much power that when Daniel began to pray and seek the Lord, God dispatched, I don't remember if it was Michael or Gabriel, but God dispatched an angel, and that angel was withheld for 21 days by the prince of the people of Persia. That devil, I believe it was Satan himself, was keeping this angel from going to Daniel to deliver the message. That's power. And then you hear all these people, running around, oh, I claim authority over that devil, and I can do that, and no devil can stand against me, bless God. Well, there was one that stood against even an angel for 21 days. And he had to get help. I think it was Michael that helped him, all right? So Michael and this devil, they've been at it before. And so the devil wants to resist us. He wants to resist the gospel. I've always tried to be honest about days that I have. Some days are great. Some are not so good. Why are they not so good? I believe the devil's trying to resist me. If you remember a few weeks ago, I came in here on a day like today. Man, I couldn't do hardly anything. I mean, I just couldn't do it. And I knew there was a spiritual presence on me. I've had that before several times. And I've learned through it. First time it really happened to me, I didn't know what was going on. I just thought, man, am I going crazy or what? And there was an impulse to just leave, go away. And then the Holy Ghost, just prayed and fast one day, and the Holy Ghost said, smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And when I realized that the devil was going after me because I was standing in the way of him attacking both my family and my church, when I realized who the real target was, man, I tell you what, I put my Popeye suit on and ate my spinach, and I went, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I said, you ain't having them, devil. Not going to have them. Not on my watch. I won't let it happen. And so he resists us. So you, and the reason why I tell you that, you will go through days where it ain't all fine, and I hate everybody, and don't touch me, don't talk to me. You'll go through days like that. Where now, if you go through, if every day is that way with you, you've got a problem. Okay? It's your heart. But the devil will resist us. He'll stand and he'll withstand against us to try to keep us from doing God's will. He'll always throw stumbling blocks, barriers, barbed wire. He'll throw everything in the way to keep us from worshiping God and following God and doing what's right. He'll do that. And so here in this case, Satan is standing at the right hand of Joshua the high priest to resist him. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? I don't know exactly what that means, but the idea is that for right now, the devil has access to the throne, to God's people, to resist them. He mentions later on in Revelation that they praise in heaven because the accuser of the brethren. And I've had this experience before. I talked about it. I had a ticket one time that I was going a little fast through our hometown, and they wouldn't even let me pay the ticket. I had to show up for court. And I'm watching, and God's teaching me. So I'm watching this woman prosecutor in this little B town and this judge, and I'm watching what things are going on, and my mind's going to the Bible. And here's this woman, and she opens up a book. It's a manila folder, and it's got my name in it. And it's got, the judge said, okay, ma'am, next case. Michael Hoggard, well, he called my name. And I stood up, and I stood before that judge. And the prosecutor was reading my offenses because they were written down. And everything that I had done that was in violation of the book, the code books, the law, the written law of God, which I'm going to throw this in. Don't let anybody knuckle you under things that they call sin that the Bible does not call sin. Don't let them do it. Don't let them judge you in meat or drink or in any holy day. Don't let anybody do it. Don't feel like just because someone else says, well, that's a sin against God. Show it to me. Show me chapter and verse. Show me where it is. All right? And so anyway, but she's reading off, she is the accuser of me. She is accusing me of doing this. I did it. As far as God is concerned, the devil is the accuser who accuses me before God. See what he did? That's your servant. I mean, what did he do to Job? Devil had in his mind that if God released the devil on him, that Job would curse God and die. And so the devil standing there in Job, accusing Job. So he is our accuser. Think of the woman caught in adultery. And they brought her out to stone her. And then they looked at Jesus and they said, here's a woman caught in adultery in the very act. And of course, everybody's going, what? Was she all alone? Caught her in adultery in the very act. What are you going to do with her? Jesus said, I'll forgive her sins. He who is without sin. He didn't say, don't, and here's another thing. Don't let preachers say, now in the original Greek, this actually implies that Jesus said, he who is without this sin. No. You know what that leads to? That as long as we are not guilty of what someone else does, then we can accuse them. That's what that leads to. But Jesus said it very plainly, and the King James has it right. He who is without sin, let him first cast a stone. Of course, Jesus is the only one who is without sin. So what does he do in Daniel chapter 2? He's the stone cast at the image. Isn't that cool? I love that. I love the King James Bible. It's right in everything it says. Anyway, and Jesus looked at the woman and he said, where are these thine accusers? Do you see that? When Jesus is good and ready, you know what he's going to do? He's going to get rid of the accusers. I love that. I love it. So this is what's going on here. And then, so that's Job 1, Zechariah 3. We see the devil having access to the throne. 1 Kings chapter 22 gives us, the Bible is our glasses to see the spiritual world, both in reality and in typology. You'll see the spiritual world, and I'm going to show you that a little bit, if I can ever get to it. God shows it through typology, the spiritual realm. And in 1 Kings, the prophet of God is actually explaining what happens in heaven. Because Ahab is going to go out to war. And Hezekiah kind of joins up with him. And Ahab's got his prophets. He's got his good old boys in the Mason Lodge that are going to prophesy to him. And they said, Ahab, see these horns? With these horns, you're going to go out and prevail against your enemies. Woo! Hallelujah! Okay? So they had a big old Trinity Broadcast Network shout and spell. And Hezekiah said, isn't there anybody that has a King James around here? Anybody have a King James? Anybody have the real Word of God? Because that don't sound right to me. Hezekiah, what he had a check in his spirit. The Spirit of God was saying, Hezekiah, it's a lie. Don't believe it. It's a lie. There's something out there. Something going wrong here. Hezekiah, you want to live? Hold back a minute. So Hezekiah says, isn't there anybody here with a King James Bible? Is there anybody here who can speak for the Lord? And so a prophet stood up and he said, let me tell you what I said. Let me tell you what I heard. Let me tell you what God showed me. So 1 Kings 22, verse 19, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him, watch this now, on his right hand, sheep, and on his left, goats. See that? Baphomet is a goat, and he is on the left hand. So, and the Lord said, who will persuade? The Lord has already decided to judge Ahab and destroy him on that deal with Naboth's vineyard, because Elijah said in the very place that Naboth's blood spilled to the ground, the dogs are going to lick up your blood. I'm going to recommend a message for you. I have it. We've used it. And I know it's online. Go to sermonaudio.com. Look under Reg Kelly. Look for a sermon called When Dogs Bark. When Dogs Bark. Pastor Reg preached that. I ended up with a tape of it. My wife and I, and we were coming back from a seminar I'd done down in Arkansas. We were listening to that tape on the way back. We were driving all night. We were listening to that tape. And he started preaching that. And I had to shut it off about two or three times. It was rough. And I strongly encourage you to go listen to When Dogs Bark. It'll mess you up. And I mean it. Okay? I won't spoil it. I won't tell you what it's about. Okay? But when you're ready for God to begin dealing with you, you listen to that. All right? But anyway. So God has already decided He's going to judge Ahab. And so he's saying, now here's how I'm going to do it. Okay? Who wants to help? It's almost like, you know, the teacher with all the little kids sitting there going, who wants to be the teacher's helper today? Me. Look at what it says. All the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall? Study that word. See the fall? You see it? Think of things that are going to fall or that fall. Satan's falling. Dagon fell. Babylon has fallen. The people fell in the plain of Dura before the image of the Antichrist there in the book of Daniel. So think of the falling away. That's what this is. That he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead. And one set on this manner, and another set on that manner. They did that. They went, Johnny, how are you going to do it? Well, Lord, I think I'll do it this way. Sally, I don't know if there's any Sallys up there. Beelzebub or whatever, how are you going to do it? Well, I kind of thought that maybe we could do this. And verse 21, and there came forth a spirit, and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? Or in other words, how? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now, I want you to think about this. This is where This is where I was some 15, 20 years ago. I was in the wilderness of deception. Eat up with it. I was believing any Bibles. In fact, I've some of them, some things in the Bible, I wasn't sure if I believed anymore. But I was in the wilderness of disbelief and the wilderness of deception. And deception always comes from spirits. Spirits are deceivers, these spirits themselves. There's no doubt in my mind that this particular spirit, this particular devil, is part of the one-third of the dragon's army. Okay, there's no doubt in my mind about it. And so, here we have a lying spirit that is in the mouth of the prophets. The men and or women who are going to speak lies. The living Bible is a lying spirit. Devils, retranslated, corrupted, and destroyed the real Word of God. And Hezekiah knew it. I'm still thinking it's Hezekiah. I may be wrong, but that king knew it. And the Holy Ghost was just saying, don't believe it. Don't believe it. See, he had the real spirit. And he sensed that there was something not right about this. And God sent that spirit to do that. God himself does not lie. That's an important rule. God does not make mistakes in his speech. He does not do anything like that. But when God is ready for mankind to be deceived, he has created for himself just the right spirits to go do it. So you have that. I don't even know where to begin here. Here's Albert Mackey's Encyclopedia, Revised Encyclopedia of Freemasonry. Okay? Lying spirits in here. That those spirits are coming out of the mouths of, you know, like Joyce Myers, Benny Hinn, Paul Crouch. Of course, he's dead. He's not talking anymore. But his airwaves are full of those lying spirits everywhere. The Rick Warrens and Bill Hybels of this world, all the people who will not regard the words of the Lord, they have a spirit. And, I mean, sometimes you can see them manifested. Boy, they're having the big show, and they're having all the tear-jerking sermons and everything else. Oh, there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of music. There's a lot of show. There's a lot of this, and there's a lot of that. There is no word. There's no word of God. And so I believe, this is a picture now of what's going on, and I believe that God has released lying spirits. And there are people behind pulpits. I used to be one of them. People behind pulpits who disregard the Word of God, and now they're talking about paradigm shifts, and they're talking about a new reformation, and they're talking about sex behind the pulpit and illustrating it. They're talking about everything else, and they're speaking lies in hypocrisy, and it is very spiritually based. And this is how God... and here's what I see. I see clearly that God is setting man up for the fall. Let's look at that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind. There's going to be a shaking take place. Or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, is that the day of Christ It's at hand. I like that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 27 bones here. All this stuff. Let no man deceive you by any means. And so here is a beautiful picture of that. Let me go back to this. 1 Kings chapter 22. And I'm going to keep my place here in 2 Thessalonians. But let's just kind of dig in here for a while today. And I've got a lot more things to talk about on this, so I may just kind of spread this out a little bit. And, you know, if the Lord tarries his coming, we'll pick it up again next week. And if he doesn't, then we'll just hear it straight from Jesus' mouth. All right? So 2 Kings chapter 22. Let's see here. Who? Oh, 1 Kings. I'm sorry. 1 Kings 22. I'm pretty sure. I know it's Ahab. And it's Jehoshaphat. Ah, I was gonna say that. I really was. And Ahab is asking Jehoshaphat to go to battle with him. And he said, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. Okay, see the spiritual nature of this? Do you see also, Paul warned us in these words about another gospel, another gospel, another gospel, any other gospel. 4 times. 400 men who are all in agreement. This is another trap that somebody will lay into you. Because you say, I just believe the King James. And then you'll have somebody tell you, now look, a majority of the church doesn't believe that way. And you know what they're saying to you? They're saying to you, because we have many on our side, that means we're right. Really? Because Barack Obama won 2 elections. Okay? And, you know, some people say, well, they cheated. I have no doubt that that went on. But I also believe that a majority of people in this country no longer adhere to what really this country should be all about. Just because it's the majority. Al Gore won the majority vote, but he lost the electoral votes. All right? Contested, I know, but anyway, just because it's popular, just because a majority believes it, just because that's the status quo of what everybody is supposed to believe, that doesn't mean that it's right. Now, I like how the scripture puts it when it comes to no scripture is of any private interpretation. And so one of the things that I do look for is, have my predecessors, have they seen this? Is this, you know, like the deity of Christ? We've got 2,000 years worth of church men, godly men, saying that Jesus is the divine Son of God. He is God in the flesh, all right? And so that's kind of what I'm getting at. But just because a majority believes one way, that doesn't mean it's right. And so don't let anybody hit you with that. You have 400 prophets so they had the 400 men, verse 6, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. That was a lie. It was a deliberate lie and a deception. But it came from the clergy. It came from the men who have been trained. They have been, these are probably undoubtedly Dr. such and such, Dr. Smith, Dr. Gehenna, Dr. this, Dr. that. All these learned scholars are going to say, absolutely, the Lord, God wants you to have this. You have to have that. You claim it in God's name. And so they say this. And Jehoshaphat said, verse 7, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? In other words, here's what you went through. Okay? Let's pick out something that you know. So you picked up a Bible. It said Bible on it. And you started reading it. And you read something like this. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. and you're going, that don't sound right. Doesn't sound, and there's something blaringly wrong with this verse. This is the Living Bible. His only son. It's a lie. God does not only have one son. We are sons of God. Christ is the only begotten of the Father. Angels are referred to as sons of God. And so you read these Bibles and you go on, they don't sound right. Does anybody have a King James? You know where I can get a King James Bible? Well, I'd like to, you know, my grandma used to have one. She gave it to me. Where is that? And you find it and you open it up and you're going, that sounds right. You see, I'm only retelling what many of you have written in and told me, or told me on the phone, or told me in person. They said, you know, I started out, and it was an NIV this, and NAS that, and you know, boy, the music was good, and just seemed like, you know, people said all this and that and the other, but I don't know, that just didn't sound right to me. And when I started looking at the King James, I immediately knew, this is the Word of God. And so here's Jehoshaphat. And he's hearing this, and it doesn't sound like King James. And so he's questioning it. Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? King of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there's yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, there is a guy that still preaches out of King James. I hate that book. I hate that. I hate them King James only people. They're a cult. You don't want to. Isn't it amazing the number of preachers who are warning you to stay away from the King James Bible? That floors me. None of them will warn you. Now, you know, that NIV, I'd just be real careful about reading it. They don't say that. They use the New American Standard, NIV, the Mess, Edge, the Living, Dead Bible, the New Living Translation, the English Standard. They'll use all these other Bibles. Okay? But when you say King James, they'll say, stay away from that. Say, why? Here's Ahab saying, yeah, there's Micaiah. I hate him. Why do you hate him, Ahab? Why don't you like him? Okay, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Ahab, did it thought ever occur to you that the reason why he's preaching against you and what you're doing is because what you're doing is wrong? That ever occur to you? See, Ahab had him 400 prophets who were purpose-driven life preachers, and Joel Osteen people, followers. Now, Ahab, we don't like to say anything negative. And Ahab said, good. It's like Grumpy Cat. Good. Okay? You tell me all the positive things. And so they did. And I imagine they were very well paid. We know that Jezebel had her prophets that sat at her table. And I'm pretty sure she fed them good. She took care of her boys. Gave them everything they wanted. Let them do whatever they want to do. As long as they said what she wanted them to say. I've had her in congregations before. Okay, that I've preached, and I'm not always talking about Bethel. I remember I was preaching a revival one time, and Jezebel was sitting there, and I could tell. And I preached a couple things, and she was rolling her eyes and grunting and staring me down. And I went to the pastor, and I said, "Who is such and such?" He said, "Yeah, she's got some real issues." Yeah, well, I guarantee you, I'm not her favorite guy. Okay, you can just tell him. But anyway, here's Micaiah. He represents the pure word of God that is not afraid of the faces of men, that's going to say it, whether Ahab likes it or not. but he has an obligation to tell the truth. Just like if you remember how Eli questioned Samuel. He said, Samuel, I know you heard from the Lord. Tell me what God said and tell me the truth. Don't lie about it. You tell me what God said. And of course, Samuel had to tell Eli, Eli, God's rejected you because of your sons and you won't do anything about it. It's a scary thing, guys. Moms, dads, when it comes to our children, you don't try to do so. I know you can't control everything they do, but if you just stand by and let them do it, don't try to do anything about it, watch out. But anyway, so Micaiah was a guy that was just going to say what God told him to say. And so, let's see here. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten with hither Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes, and a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chinnaanah, made him horns of iron, and he said, thus saith the Lord, with these iron. Horns of iron. Get it? Iron kingdom, and they're going to fall. With these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to have a great outpouring of God's blessing here today. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. Well, but they sound good, don't they? And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king. With one mouth, let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. There's always an enticement for us to just go along, isn't there? There are places that I will not get invited back to. Meetings, conferences, churches, I will not get invited back to. I will go just about any place I'm invited to speak. Okay? If the Masons had a meeting, said, we want you to come spew out your ignorance so we can make fun of you. You know what? I might just go do that. Because I think there's probably one or two out there that's going, you know what? That's the Word of God. But there are places that won't have me back. And one conference in particular, I was called and questioned about how much of this King James only stuff I was going to push. That wasn't right. That wasn't right. I was being subtly asked to go along with everybody else. I can't do it. I've learned, that's my nature, I want to. But I've learned over the years, God has shown me, Mike, I'm going to make sure they all reject you anyway. So why don't you just come on out and just say what you need to say. God, I'll do that. So I left a denomination, left a future that I might have had with them. Left it all. Because I won't go along if it's not right. I won't say it the way everybody else is saying it if it's not right. My conscience won't allow me. And it's made a lot of people mad. I hate that. But I'm telling you, I cannot help it. Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. The king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee? And I think here that it looks like Micaiah is being sarcastic, and Ahab knows it. Because he says, the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Okay? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as the sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master, let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? Didn't I tell you, Jehoshaphat, that King James, I hate it. I hate the King James. I hate that old Bible. I never get anything good out of it. Now, when I go and get from this other pastor, the mega church, the coffee shop church, and he says lots of nice things, he tells me I'm going to have a paradigm shift and that I can stay with my girlfriend. And said, it's okay. Or I can stay with my boyfriend. And God made me that way. And I hate that King James crowd. Can I tell you something? I've said this before. I was like that. 20 years ago, I was like that. I went to a denominational meeting. They had a debate on the King. It wasn't a debate. One of the denominational bigwigs was going to tell everybody how it was and make fun of the King James people. And at that time, I was on his side. And I was going,
stupid people. I hate you. I hate all of you. You think you're all better than everybody else. You know what? I was making that stuff up. I was sitting there, arrogant and pompous, and looking at these guys, standing up with tears running down their eyes, saying, we believe this is the Word of God. We believe it has no mistakes in it. And I was just going, what a baby. Gosh.
Spray myself so I don't get their cooties. Well, guess what? I got their cooties. I'm just telling you, I know how they talk. I know how they think. I know what's going on in their mind. When you say King and James in the same sentence, there are spirits in them that are going, get away! They hate this book, and they hate you because of it. And so you know what? All the sucking up that you can do to them, unless you walk away from this book, they're always going to treat you like second class. Been there, done that. And so that's when Micaiah spills the beans. Let me tell you what the Lord said. And so he shows him this vision. And sure enough, the next day, Ahab slept with his fathers. Here they are, the battle increased. Verse 35, battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even, and the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went out a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city and every man to his own country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according to the word of the Lord which he spake. In the exact same place where Naboth was killed, they brought that chariot and was washing the blood out of that chariot. And the dogs came over and licked up the blood. I'm telling you, this Bible's right, people. It is absolute. This not. I had no intention on going into this detail about it, but I just feel like the Lord was leading in that direction. And I just want to encourage you. Stick with it. It's all you've got. Be like Jehoshaphat here. Jehoshaphat, I kind of had him confused with Hezekiah. There's two kings really stand up in my mind, Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah, and you can see how they just kind of wrestled with what was around them, being vexed by it. But ultimately they said, you know what? We got to stand for the Lord. And here's Jehoshaphat who's going, that just doesn't sound like the King James to me. It doesn't sound like the Word of God. Does anybody have a real Bible here? Does anybody have one? Okay, yeah, we got one. I hate it. Well, let's hear it. And that's how the Holy Ghost is going to lead you. But that is how the evil spirit, the lying spirit, is going to lead all these other people. And every time they say, now, a better translation is, or now in the original Greek, or... you know, actually, God is in us. He's not bound by a Bible. That's a lying spirit. It's a setup. And God sent it. Why? Because Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. And God is using Babylon and these false prophets everywhere to set everybody up for, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's what everybody's being set up for, and God is allowing it. Why? Why is God, evil that way? No. Because it says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Ahab was so typical of probably most people you know. They don't want the truth. They don't want anything that resembles the truth. They want to be lied to so they can keep whoring around, keep drinking, keep lying, keep being Jezebels, keep being everything else in the world, and love the world, and yet call themselves a Christian. That's what they want. And the spirit that's on them is not the same spirit that's part of this book. So just kind of let this be an encouragement to you. Let it be a warning. If you're listening and you're kind of that other group like I used to be, let this be a warning to you. If God loves you like He did me, He'll yank you out. Okay? He will pull you out of that stuff. And you, I'm like Paul, you become the people that you hated. That's what He did with me. And all you people who stand and have been standing on this book, I love you. I love you very much. I used to hate your guts. All right? Anyway, God bless you. I love you. We're going to look at the typology of the war in heaven. There's a story of all of this, and we're going to see the typology of it when we get into it next week. All right? Hey, God bless you. It's good to be with you today, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.